This is OMS Voices and Amos Podcast. I'm Bill Klaproth, and with me is Dr. Peter Moy, who is here to discuss how to maintain your dental implants. Dr. Moy, thanks for being here.
It's nice to be invited.
Yes, well, we're happy to see you. So let's jump into this. So what are dental implants?
I think for the main part, as far as dental implants are concerned, everyone knows what dental implants are. It's a matter of questioning how successful are dental implants. So in my practice, every day, more and more patients are getting dental implants to replace missing teeth. Dental implants are surgically placed into your jawbone. They're a long-term solution to replacement of missing teeth, or what we call edentulism.
Okay.
And it can be very similar to your natural teeth as far as the implant-supported restoration.
Okay.
Unlike fixed bridges or removable dentures, dental implants will cause less trauma and less damage to neighboring healthy teeth, unlike a fixed bridge, which required the adjacent teeth to be cut down.
Okay.
Or loose-fitting dentures that could lead to bone loss in the jawbone itself.
Okay. You said more and more people are turning to dental implants. It seems like that is the way it's going. People really don't want to deal with dentures, right? And things like that. Dental implants are a much more permanent fix, stronger fix than having dentures and having to deal with that. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct, Bill. Obviously, patients want something that mimics their own teeth. They don't like going to bed, taking their teeth out, putting in a glass of water, and sleeping without teeth. So dental implants provide a solution for that, where they don't have to do that. In other patients where they're missing front teeth in their upper jaw, they obviously don't want to walk around looking like a hockey player, correct?
Right.
And so naturally, they want something fixed, especially in the front of their upper jaw.
Yeah.
And so the dental implant solution is the ideal way to do this.
Yeah. I think there's probably a perception too. Oh, my grandparents had dentures. I don't want to be old like them. I don't want to deal with that, right? There's probably a perception of, I'm not wearing dentures. I'm not doing that, right? There's probably a little bit of a negative perception towards those as well.
Well, my response to their statement is that you are getting older.
Okay. See, but you always put it right in line for us, Dr. Moy. Just right to the point. I love that.
You have to. But we tell the patients that there's better solutions than wearing dentures.
Right. You do need this, but there are better solutions, and dental implants are the better solution. So after the dental implants, what nutrition will a patient need after receiving the implants?
Surgery in the mouth, Bill, such as placement of dental implant or biopsies, extraction of teeth, doesn't really require a significant increase in nutrients. The body will tend to heal on its own as long as you have a well-rounded diet. So you don't need to take supplements or anything else like that, especially after dental implant surgery. However, the healing after surgery does require the patient to take certain precautions. The hard and soft tissues are healing, and so the patients naturally are concerned about normal brushing, flossing, or whatever they do to normally take care of their teeth. And so we recommend that the patient stay on a fairly, what I call, non-chewing diet.
Okay.
So it's soft diet, liquid diet for a few days. After the initial healing of the soft tissues, which typically takes up to about 10 days to fully heal, we advise patients not to worry too much about their oral hygiene.
Okay.
It's important to minimize the amount of trauma that is induced on the healing soft tissues.
Right.
So that it doesn't open up, lead to infection, lead to failure of the implant, or whatever dental procedure that was performed.
Yeah.
Once the patient has gone through the initial healing phases, at that point in time, we focus our instructions to the patient as to how to take care of the healing soft tissue and hard tissue. It doesn't require a lot of work, but it does require certain approaches to maintaining a clean, healthy environment. So what we generally recommend is after their first week of healing, I'll see the patients, remove any loose sutures or debris that may be collected on them. We then instruct them on the use of a very soft toothbrush. most of our patients use a mechanical electric toothbrush.
Right.
And so we advise them to stay off of that for another week to 10 days. So we have a certain soft toothbrush in our office that we give to our patients at the one-week follow-up because they are fairly concerned about hygiene. And so they'll maybe start using their own toothbrush too soon. And so we advise them to use a soft brush for another week to 10 days before resuming normal hygiene procedures that they perform at home. We also advise them to avoid certain foods or beverages simply because the carbonated beverages, the alcoholic type beverages, and even the high protein shakes that they take. It contains a high level of sugar. And so we advise them to kind of refrain from taking those beverages simply because the sugar creates a very nice medium for bacteria to build up. And especially around sutures that tend to collect plaque anyways, the introduction of high sugar substances can lead to greater plaque buildup, which obviously builds up with more bacteria. And so to avoid infection, we recommend that they maintain a fairly low sugar diet and using the soft toothbrush or oftentimes a Q-tip.
Oh, interesting.
To cleanse the wound site. The final thing that we advise them to avoid are alcohol content mouthwash. There are a lot of mouthwashes that contain alcohol, and especially with a prescribed one called chlorhexidine that has 12-13% alcohol. And so we advise them not to use those type of mouth rinses. The best thing to do for maintaining a clean mouth really is warm salt water, and you can add a dash of hydrogen peroxide.
Oh, all right.
And that really does a good job.
And a gentle swish, like that, because you want to avoid injuring the surgical site. So no big bag of potato chips. Not good. Peanuts, not a good idea, right? All that crunching in there. Stay away from the salsa, the chips, I guess. That would be a good
idea. That's exactly right.
So when it comes to dental implants, why choose an OMS to place the dental implants?
That's a very good question, because there are several surgical specialties in the field of dentistry. However, I feel that the OMS, the oral and maxillofacial surgeon, is the best trained to manage a surgical situation like implant placement. We're extensively trained and have full knowledge of the anatomy and vital structures of the face, mouth, and jaws. Oftentimes, with our implant patients, because of trauma, getting a tooth knocked out, fracturing their jaw, or have lost teeth for a long period of time, they lose the anatomy. And we are ideally trained to replace the lost anatomy. When it comes to long-term edentulism, again, wearing a denture, a removable denture, can lead to excessive bone loss. When that occurs, there is minimal bone, especially over the vital anatomic structures that we need to avoid, such as the inferior alveolar nerve, the maxillary sinuses. And so, again, the OMS has been trained in their surgical education to manage this type of deficiencies.
Right. And ultimately, the surgery that comes with dental implants. You need a surgeon on board for that. And as you said, OMSs are extensively trained and have knowledge of the face, mouth, and jaws.
That's correct. And so what we generally recommend, because so many other dental specialists are starting to perform implant surgeries, we're not saying that they shouldn't be doing it. The more advanced cases or the more difficult cases or the more complex cases should seek out an evaluation by an oral and maxillofacial surgeon to determine if, number one, they're good candidates, and if they're not, why are they not? And so,
good question.
What we can do for those patients who may not be candidates initially, as a surgeon, we can recommend certain augmentation procedures that, again, we're well trained to perform. And we also can provide a variety of surgical techniques that could help to restore the lost anatomy. And so we're trained to explain the benefits and risks with these advanced surgical procedures and help the patient to decide what's the best approach.
Right. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. And you want, when it comes to this, you want somebody that's extensively trained to take care of this, especially when you're dealing with bone and soft tissue as well.
I would.
Yeah. Me too. Me too. So once the dental implants are in, how does one properly care for them?
Well, that's...
Soft toothbrush, right?
No.
Right.
We're talking about immediately after surgery, but we're talking now long-term-wise.
Yeah, so once they're in, you're through the recovery, yes. What is the course for maintaining dental implants and good oral hygiene?
I chuckled because there's a reason why patients need dental implants, correct? There's a reason why they're missing teeth. The majority of the time, they're missing teeth because they didn't take care of their teeth
right.
in the first place.
Right.
And so we obviously have to teach our patients religion.
Right.
I don't want to go down that path.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that we have to convert their thinking process and how they manage their home care.
The religion of oral hygiene.
The religion of oral hygiene.
Yes.
Yes. And I'm the top priest.
So that's got to be tough at times because for someone that didn't care for their teeth before, now they have dental implants. So now what are you going to say to them to make them want to care for their teeth now? Maybe because of the yeah. investment they've got in the new teeth, they may want to take care of that investment. But I would imagine some people fall back on old habits. Would that be
fair thinking? That is absolutely fair and correct. And so what I tell them is, look, you lost your teeth for a reason. You're going to lose these implants for the same reason if you don't change your habits.
So that's a good point. These aren't, okay, these are dental implants. They're not indestructible. It's not like they're in there forever. You still have to care for them.
That's correct. And so what I typically do with our patients is first put them on an oral hygiene program.
Okay.
Even though we're planning to remove their teeth, they kind of look at me and say, why am I
right.
trying to clean these?
I have diseased teeth and damaged teeth. Why now? Yeah. Right.
And I tell them, you know, this is your spring training before the real league gets
okay.
started.
Okay. You're in the minors, kid. You got to work on this.
You're way in the minors.
Oh, you're way in the minors, down. Kid. All right.
Yep. So you got to come through AAA and
okay.
then ultimately the big league.
Until you want to make it to the show.
That's right.
Where you got that big, beautiful smile. Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you're right. You don't want to spend thousands of dollars and have it go down the drain
right.
in a matter of a year or two.
Right.
And again, I try to explain to them, you don't go out and buy a Ferrari and not take care of it, right?
Yeah.
If you do, what's going to happen?
If you do, right.
It's going to go in the barn.
Yeah. Well, you're going to eventually have a piece of junk,
yeah.
you know, an expensive piece of junk, not nearly worth as much as it was when it was new, but yeah.
So true. It's important to maintain. And they get it. They finally do get it because they come in after surgery. They come in after the bridge has been placed. And they said, how am I doing? How am I taking care of this? And I routinely work out with the referrals a joint hygiene program where they see their restorative dentist one time. And depending on how short of an interval they need to be seen, I see them the next time. And then we exchange back and forth.
Right.
It's always better to have more eyes looking at
yeah.
the patient than just one.
It's a team effort.
It is a team effort, yes.
Yeah. And then you don't want the patient striking out since we're speaking in baseball metaphors,
yeah,
right?
Correct.
You want them to keep getting those base hits. So as far as daily care for dental implants, just like normal teeth, you mentioned soft toothbrush before. You probably want to avoid abrasive products, alcohol-infused mouthwashes, those type of things as well?
That's absolutely correct. And in fact, again, I think the majority of our profession rely too heavily on this product, chlorhexidine.
Okay.
It's a mouth rinse. And it has been shown to be very effective in reducing the bacterial count in the mouth.
This chlorhexidine, is this in most over-the-counter mouthwashes, or is that the brand name of it?
No, it's not over-the-counter.
Oh.
Actually, it has to be prescribed.
Oh, my Lord.
Okay. And so
a mouthwash that's prescribed.
That's correct.
That's heavy duty.
It is heavy duty.
That's big. But it's not ultimately not good because of the high alcohol content.
Exactly right. Plus, we're seeing some studies that show that it's actually anti-fibrinogenic. Mm-hmm. In other words, it slows down the formation of gingival fibers. It's that caustic. Mm-hmm. And so if our patients are going through a healing process and you want their gum tissues to heal up, you don't want to prescribe chlorhexidine.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, after it's fully healed, the question then is, should chlorhexidine be routinely prescribed?
Right.
And in my estimation, the answer is no.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the chlorhexidine is very, very good for preventing patients who are susceptible to bacterial infection.
Okay.
But you can help them prevent it in a much better way to mechanically clean their teeth, right? You can remove bacteria either that way or by rinsing with chlorhexidine.
Right, or brushing and flossing.
That is exactly
right. And people might say, do I still have to floss? These aren't real teeth. Why do I have to floss? You probably get that question, and the answer is...
You want to maintain a healthy gum tissue environment around your implants. The biggest difference between teeth and implant is that teeth have a source of blood supply.
Okay.
Right? So if it gets infected... Yes, you can take antibiotics. It will take the infection away. And if you remove the cause of the infection, you know, gingivitis, right, a localized mechanical irritant or whatever, it can reverse itself. Mm-hmm. With implants, you can't.
Right.
There's no blood supply into the implant. And so if it gets infected, you get dramatic loss of bone, loss of gum tissue. So.
And plaque can still... eat into the soft tissue areas and the dental implant itself. Is that correct or no?
No.
Okay.
Plaque doesn't eat anything.
Oh. So isn't plaque acidic? Acidic?
Is. It's because of the bacteria.
Okay. But plaque can eat into real teeth or no? It doesn't eat into anything.
It doesn't eat into teeth.
Tissue.
But soft tissue. Right.
So then it's still susceptible to the soft tissue, even with dental implants, plaque.
Yes. It's a slippery slope because in a healthy situation, everything is pretty much hemostatic, right? Mm-hmm. It goes along very healthy. Everyone's happy. Gum tissue is happy. Bone is happy. Teeth
we want
are
happy gum tissue.
We want, happy, healthy gum tissue.
Okay.
Okay. With dental implant, however, in the best case scenario, you're going to get an implant that will heal without infection. You'll get long-term maintenance without infection. As soon as there's an inflammation of the gum tissue, an inflammation that can be caused by trauma or more likely by bacterial infiltration.
Which plaque can hold.
Which plaque holds thousands of bacteria, right? Once that inflammation starts, it's relatively difficult compared to a tooth to control that inflammation. Again, there's no blood flow into the implant.
That's why you called it a slippery slope.
It's a slippery slope. So when inflammation invades the gum tissue around the implant, the only way to take care of that is really through mechanical cleansing.
So when you say mechanical cleansing, are you talking about brushing or is that...
Brushing and flossing? Taking care of whatever caused the inflammation.
Okay.
And again, generally, it's a buildup.
And then regular care to get the soft tissue back to
health. Okay. If you don't, then the inflammation leads to recession of that gum tissue. You don't want that.
That's not a happy gum.
It's not a happy gum. And what it leads to is unhappy bone.
And that we really don't want.
That you really don't.
That's want. Where ultimately tooth decay and tooth loss comes from.
And
see, I'm
ultimate,
learning.
You are.
See, I'm a good student, Dr. Moy.
You listen well.
Well, thank you. I try. Thank you. Well, that's really good to know. You know, stay away from abrasive products, floss and brush daily, and then regular visits to the dentist, just like you normally would with real teeth, if you will.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. So if a patient then properly cares for their implants, how long will they generally last?
Well, as a professional, we can't really say how long, right? If you have a hip replacement, do you ask your orthopedic surgeon, how long will this hip last?
Yeah.
You know what their response is?
No. Well, there's a lot of variables.
Yeah. There are. And the orthopedic surgeons kind of protect themselves by saying, well, Typically, they will last a long time, but there are some patients that we have to do revisions, correct?
Well, it depends on the care afterwards. Yeah.
But and notice they don't say replacement. Revision.
Revision, right.
Okay. And surgeons should probably, dental surgeons should probably take the same approach. You know, we get that asked a lot. How long will this last? And my response is, depends on you.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, many factors that can lead to a nasty outcome where ultimately you're going to lose that implant.
Yeah. If you don't take care of your teeth, all the things we've been talking about.
Correct. Or if, unfortunately, you become medically compromised, you develop high blood pressure, you develop diabetes. Many of our patients have kind of a reduced immunosuppressive response.
Yeah.
And so there are lots of things as we get older that can affect the long-term stability of an implant.
Right.
And we can't predict.
Right. So it's up to you, basically.
It's up to you, the patient, and regular follow-ups. Because whenever I see the patient, we ask about their medical history. Let's update your history.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been hospitalized? Have you started any new medications? Have you experienced anything significant in your medical history that
right.
we should know about?
Yeah. Is there a range for somebody that does do a good job of regular maintenance, good oral hygiene, who sees the dentist regularly? Is there, it can last a lifetime? Is there a 50? So it really depends on the person. If they do everything right and they're not eating a lot of acidic foods or a lot of sugary products, which you said are bad, typically you can really, you know, 15 years, 20 years, I mean, really as long, it's kind of up to you at this point.
That is,
you're not eating a lot of hard foods, a lot of crunch.
That is correct. I mean, I started placing implants in 1983, and I still see patients, one of the first ones that I treated in my practice. She comes in every 2 months because now she's in hospice care, and she wants to make sure that she's taking good care of her implants. And every 2 months, I walk in, you're doing great.
That's 39 years.
Yes.
Wow. Amazing.
That's not forever.
Right.
It's not forever, but
right.
that's how long you can expect if you take good care of yourself.
Right. Well, Dr. Moy, this has really been fascinating and informative and very thorough, so we appreciate your thoroughness in talking to us about this. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
You bet. That is Dr. Peter Moy, and for more information in the full podcast library, please visit myoms.org. And if you found this podcast to be interesting, please share it on your social media, and don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for listening.